Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Go to VFNTV and watch Prudent Preparation. This is what the Proverbs say, the wisdom says, you know, and we got to get to that today. And this could be the proverb. We'll just let this be the proverb today. You know, that a wise man sees danger and prepares for it. A wise man sees danger and prepares for it. But a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, listen, you know, the reason why we would keep going is because we assume that tomorrow will be like yesterday. But we found out during the hurricanes, we found out during things that happened, people at 9/11 found out that tomorrow is not always like yesterday.
That's right.
And we can prepare for it. And the thing about it is, if you're prepared for it, you can make it through this lull of services. Listen, it stopped for us. Everything stopped. When your state is unplugged, like California got unplugged when the guy tripped over the extension cord or something that time. I mean, everything just went down.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, different things taking place. But the immediate thing is the attack on our electrical grid and that type of thing with viral type things going into the internet and just shutting stuff down. Be efficient outside of technology. You know, we talk about abiding. When you go to iabide.org, we talk about how to do it with your Bible, with your pen, and with a blank journal and God. And you're not dependent on having to go find something on some computer to be with God. God was before computers and God will be after computers. And computers are our attempt to be somewhat as knowledgeable as we can when God is all knowing at the very same time. Anyway, so I'm sitting in this parking lot. I gotta tell you, I'm sitting in this parking lot and we're talking about, you know, what the Lord shared with me in my time away. And prudent preparation is that it was like, this is the moment. It's here. It's here. And when he spoke to me, and then he began to review things, you know, he began to remember the things that the Lord has shown us, that it's not what you think it is. It's people behind the people. And then he began to talk to me and show me how Isaiah chapter 1, if you read Isaiah chapter 1, all the way to Isaiah, maybe 10, but it's the American church. And he says, listen, he says very specifically, he says, don't call this thing a conspiracy like all these other people or men are calling conspiracy. And that's what you hear right now. All these people have these conspiracy things going on. Oh, this is connected to this, and this is who's doing this, and this is who's doing
theories.
This. All these theories. And God specifically says through Isaiah, do not call this a conspiracy. You know, I mean, when you're seeing all these things connect and men are blind to it, you have to be open for the reality that God is doing something. He's allowing something to take place. And then Isaiah says, and this is the word he's speaking to, that God has given me a mind that does not think like other men think. And so you got to do two things first. First, you got to get rid of all this trying to logically explain, which is a conspiracy theory type thing. Quit trying to logically explain what's about to take place and repent and begin to get people listening to things like or to VFN radio and watching VFN TV and start being the church and quit just going to it. And you still can go to where you go, but be the church when you're there and realize the word of God is applicable to you, not to a building organization or board of directors. And so repentance is making God's values our priority, begin to change our life and God will forgive us. And that's what he wants. And you know, No One Cries for Justice is also available for you in VFN TV. No One Cries for Justice. We will not cry for what's right until we understand God's justice. And God's justice is about putting things back in their rightful place and order again. Mm-hmm. Well, that will only happen at the cross of Christ. It won't happen through our ability to do good works or justice movements, but the justice of God. But then God's speaking to Israel, God's people. He's speaking to them. He said, listen, you didn't even listen to me. You know, you're just basically, you know, shaking your fist in my face. You don't want anything to, you know, you just, and he's so upset with Israel. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going to take Syria. I'm going to take Syria like a fist. And I'm going to blow a whistle. The Assyrians is what he's saying. And I'm going to blow a whistle. I'm just going to whistle from these nations afar, and they're all going to come in and begin to bring destruction on you. He said, the grave is licking its lips. Mm-hmm. It's licking its lips. What does that mean? It means that, listen, no matter when you think the Lord's coming back, the moment you die, you're going to go be with him. And so your resurrection could be in 5 minutes from now. And you're going to have to answer for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't displace the reality of eternity in your life. You're going to spend eternity either in hell or in heaven. You're going to spend eternity where you did not accept Jesus or you did accept him. Not that you make a mental decision. Did you make a hard decision to make him the Lord of your life? And he is so upset. He's using the Syrians to come in. And then he says, this will begin to happen. Now, we're describing what's going to happen to America if God's people, it's not the world. We're going to quit pointing at this. VFN Radio is to the church, to the backslider, to the ones being led to the Lord. That's what this is all about. That it is the lack. And then we're going to begin to see with these things taking place that right now Syria is teetering in the balance. You're watching Syria, and it says they describe our president as being uninvolved, uninterested, having nothing to say on the Syrian platform, which is on top of Israel. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he's telling Israel that if you do attack Iran, you'll be on your own. And I was going to send you 5,000 troops, but now I'll send you 1,200 or less.
Right.
Then our Secretary of State says that as well. While we're bringing in the Muslim Brotherhood to infiltrate our government, we're removing the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic references in our library and our FBI. While at the same time, the very same time, our Secretary of State's husband, President Bill Clinton, is supporting mm-hmm. the opposition to the Prime Minister of Israel, where they're working behind the scenes in Israel to replace Benjamin Netanyahu. It's just totally, totally amazing what's taking place. And we are saying there is no God, you know, mm-hmm. in our platform anymore. And then there is, Israel's not the capital of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and that Hamas is not an adversary. It was like you just named all of our problems and our issues, and we just shout, we boo God. And it's so important when you're talking about booing God, it's when Americans said in their platform that we wanted God removed from our platform, and then Americans, when they put God back in, they booed the whole concept of as they're using Robert's Rules of Order, by the way, to be able to do that. And it's like, here we are, and it's like God is sending we're in a particular situation here.
Yeah, you know, the Americans boo God. And, you know, that understanding that this is going to begin to happen. And so then he says all these enemies that come in, he says they'll come in like a flood. And over again, God has shown us tidal waves. God has shown us a flood. And he wasn't talking about an actual water flood. He's talking about this, your enemy will come in like a flood. And a flood is like, it comes from everywhere. I don't know if you saw the tsunamis and all that took place. We know during the hurricane, the surges that came in. When water mm-hmm. comes in, it mm-hmm. just comes in from everywhere. It's hard to explain. It doesn't look like in the natural sense it would be destructive until a car washes over you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until you interview somebody in Biloxi, Mississippi, you know, or Gulfport, Mississippi, when he's sitting there, he says, I was holding onto this tree. And this tree, he says, that the current was so strong as he hugged this tree, it was trying to pull him off this tree, and it ripped all of his clothes off of him while he was standing on. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's describing that. When people are saying, listen, we gave you the last chance to abandon before this Hurricane Katrina comes in. Now that you haven't, it's too late. I want you to write your Social Security number on your one arm, and I want you to write your name on your other arm, and do the same thing on your leg and your other leg. So when they find the body, they can identify the body. Listen, a flood is about to pour into our nation, and it's going to pour from every angle. And you can't describe a flood, but let me tell you, hundreds of thousands of lives were lost at the tsunami in a moment. Mm. In a moment. And then He says, then you're going to begin to be hungry. This is what he tells Israel. Then you're going to begin to be hungry. What are we seeing? We're seeing food shortages. We're seeing wages go down, jobs go out, and we're seeing prices of food go up. And when the hurricane hit, what happened? All the shelves were empty. People immediately emptied the shelves because we're FIFO. We're first in, first out inventory. We only just enough is how we stock things. It used to be a stock room full of stuff, but now we actually order just enough to put it on the shelf, which means there's no way to replenish that. If all of a sudden a disaster hits America, it could take like 90 days or 6 months to get trucks moving again, to get fuel moving again, to get access again. And he says, then you'll begin to roam. This is what he says. Then you'll begin to roam. I'm telling you the future, and you can find out more about this on at VFN TV. But find somebody, get prepared. But he said, then you'll begin to roam around, and then you'll look up, and you'll curse God, you'll curse him, and then you'll look down and curse your king, and then you'll begin to basically attack people, trying to take things, you know, food, because people get really, and people try so hard to live. It's amazing to me. It's like, you know, are you that scared of death? But, you know, people are scared of death. They're scared of it. And it's like the only reason you're scared of it is because you haven't made a decision that you know where you're going to be afterwards. You can live a life where you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and fear not your life under death. You know, this is how the saints overcame. And that when you get over death, when you're no longer afraid to die, you're finally ready to live. And until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And the church needs to wake up. And the Lord is saying, this is my fist. You know, and this is Israel. So for everybody that says that, you know, God has a covenant with America and he's not going to, you know, he's not going to do anything. He can take America like a bat and beat Syria with it and then throw us away. You know, it's just nations rise and nations fall. I mean, God says, I'll raise it up and I'll take it down. But the church will live. I mean, the kingdom of God will live on. It's only 300 million people in America. There's 6 billion people on the face of the earth, America. We're not that relevant in the context of the world, but we're sucking up all the money. We're sucking up all the gold. We're sucking up all the resources. And the church that lives in America, only 3% of them are concerned about their heart, and only 3% of them are even honoring God with what he's given us. And we're demanding, we're literally telling people that we don't need a healthcare system while we ourselves are robbing God. And he goes, maybe God's doing by force what we wouldn't do by choice. This is not on every paradigm. When I look at what's going on and what God is saying, that we have to really check ourselves. And we lost the perspective of the poor. We lost the perspective of God's perspective of things. And we got to begin. So the flood, over and over again, God has spoken flood, 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 tidal wave, tidal wave, tidal wave. You know, I was just talking to Brett up in Denver last night, you know, talking about, you know, what God showed me before they got there when I was on a sabbatical, and how, I mean, you got to go listen to, what was the, on VFN TV, there was we had recorded a call where ministers from around America were, a conference call, were sharing about what God has shared with us.
And it's God does speak?
Yeah, God does speak. And that's what he says in Job 33. And you can hear this. It's just going to be major. And at one point when people were looking at something very small, it became very large. And they were looking at a small tornado in the center of the United States. And the Lord had me there in this prophetic dream. And the sky was totally black and dark. And all of a sudden, while everybody's focusing on something small, the entire sky falls. And it lands into the earth, and the earth turns into like water at that point, even though it's still earth. And this huge tidal wave begins to come going west. And over again, the sun dropping out of them. It's just major end times. I think Tracy described this is like end times stuff. And now you're beginning to see, you know, these things happen that, right after, this big move about pulling God out, then putting God back in again. That now you're starting to see unions go on strike all the times. Why would you go on strike? Well, you got to understand, it's not what you think it is. That the adversary wants to push this country over the edge. And my concern is, and what you'll see when you go back and go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic words and teachings, you can hear them, is you'll find out that God already showed us that America was on the edge of a cliff about to be pushed over like the Titanic. And would we, and it was almost like they've been getting us closer and closer to the edge of the cliff. They could have pushed us earlier, but they're getting us closer and closer So the push is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the church sleeps. It's like rolling a sleeping body closer and closer. Like, wake up, you're rolling closer to the edge of this thing.
Mm.
And so you got to hear these. I mean, he's telling us, and you need to share it with others. Listen, it's anointed word from God, and it'll wake people up. And so God is using, what God is using is Syria. In Syria right now, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, well, the Hamas, the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, who took over in Egypt, who's taken over in Libya and these other countries, and our government's helping.
Mm-hmm.
That they're about to take over in Syria. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. They're going to have the power of Syria, the chemical weapons of Syria. They're going to have this caliphate of these nations around Israel. And that's going to be used against Jesus and the mm-hmm. Jews, against the church, you know, and the Jews. I mean, you got to go see JJ on the torch.
Torch.
Understand? Mm-hmm. Just type in JJ. That's the perspective. You know, how do they see Jesus and the Jews? And Jesus is a Jew, but the fact is, but he's also the church. And right. So understanding that. And so what the Lord laid on my heart was that moment, what's happening right now, but the first thing they start talking about is the Christians are getting persecuted in Syria. I mean, mm-hmm. they haven't even got leadership yet, and they're already coming against the Christians in Syria. That was a big thing. And they hate, you understand, Satan hates the Jews. He hates Christians. He hates God's people, period.
Mm-hmm.
But God's saying in Isaiah that I am blowing a whistle and I'm going to use these nations, including the Assyrians, to come against you because you've come against me. You've turned against me. What does that mean? That means if God can use a Muslim who is Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to come against Israel, he can use Mormons. He can use whoever he wants to use.
That's right.
The question is, who do you say he is?
Mm.
We have to get in alignment again with him. The only hope for Jesus, the only hope for the church and the hope, you know, I don't know if it's just time to swim. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And we can swim past this, the ship called America, and the church will live on. I know you gave a statistic that we talked about, and you can find it on there, but it's approximately 1.3 million abortions, according to the last statistics that we have in America, a year. 1.3 million a year. And if you haven't heard yet in Zero Tolerance, it's sacrifice of children, and that would be considered a sacrifice to the god Moloch. And so when you hear me talk about, you know, sacrifices to Moloch, but 1.3 million and 90-some-odd percent of those, based on the surveys of the people having the abortion, said it's because of convenience or not an unwanted child, not because of rape or incest. It's like a real low percent, and we'll make that available in the VFN Torch. But think about that. A year, that's 3,000. Think about this. That's 3,753 sacrifices to Moloch or abortions a year, the shedding of innocent blood. 3,753. Think about a county. You probably live in a county or a province inside of America. There's only 3,033 of those. There's 50 states, but there's 3,033 counties. Think about it. That is, in every single county, every single day, that's enough sacrifices for 1.23 sacrificed children a day. Per county in every single state. Think about it. That's amazing what is taking place. And we are sitting for the very sin that God was talking to Josiah about. He was talking to him about the innocent bloodshed I would forgive everything else, but this innocent bloodshed, because of that, I'm going to have to thrust you out of my presence.
Mm.
And that's huge.
Wow.
And the reason why he said to Israel, he said that, you know, I can't deal with this, you know, and he says he thrusted them. You got to listen to Josiah. You got to listen to the message on Josiah on VFN TV. But he says he thrusted them, his own people, he thrusted them from their presence. And that's just this false perception of God, is that we're breaking his heart. We're breaking mm-hmm. his heart. How long do you think that children can offend their father till finally their father just says, listen, you know, you got to get out of my face. I just can't see this anymore. I just can't That's right. see this anymore. And then you can only hope that the Father's heart will change towards you over a period of time, which means maybe 10 years in captivity, you know, 10 years of oppression. And we are breaking the heart of our God as a people who have been the most blessed people on the face of the nation, of the world. We've never been a more blessed people than America, and this is what we've done with it, to the point where here we are a few years later, because we're a young nation, now we're actually wanting to remove God from our platform, what we stand for, and remove Israel. Dear God, have mercy on America. If you haven't yet, you need to go, and you need to download the VFN TV app and begin to listen to this word mm-hmm. every day. We're here every day with you to talk to you, to encourage you, to give you a now word, and you need to brace yourself, not out of fear, but out of faith and surety, and only hold on to what is solid, which is Jesus, because he can carry you through any storm, but the storm is coming, and we don't know how long, and I encourage you, too, to download every broadcast so you have it available for you, just in case the internet wasn't there for you or your way that you listen is not there for you. You know, download it somehow into your system so you can listen to this. You need to understand that the time has come and the Lord says, this is it. Brace yourself. Man, you know, this is what the Lord's been laying on my heart about. You know, history, we like to think that history is something that happened in the past, that it's not a prophetic word about the future. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how could that happen? That's the history. I mean, men don't want to rule the world anymore. Yeah, men are not. They're not wanting to rule the world. I mean, come on. I mean, why would anybody want? I mean, those are huge ambitions.
No, right? Julius Caesar's no more, right?
Exactly. I mean, that. Think about it. I mean, think about that. Remember Caesar when we're talking about what we're talking about. You know, and you look at Hitler and Mussolini and Woodrow Wilson. You know, President Woodrow Wilson went to war because he wanted to have big government. Mm. And that because of the war that was taking place at the time, the world's war, they were so busy fighting war, they quit buying all of our products. And you couldn't fund the government. And so he got involved. He said he wouldn't be involved. But then he got involved because the funding process, you know, our gross national product, our ability to tax our products that are going overseas and then to pay tax on it, we were losing our customers. So it was a money-driven war, Woodrow Wilson. And by the way, he's the one that came up with the League of Nations, which eventually became the United Nations.
Mm. Thank you, Woodrow. Thank you.
And he said, you know, you can find out about Woodrow on the VFN Torture in your highlights right there. I believe it's an original tense, but just type in Woodrow. It was very interesting. He was a professor at a university. He was he was a professor at a university, and people who had an agenda came and interviewed him because he was such a good speaker. He was such a good speaker when he taught his class. When he taught his class, his students, you know, if you've been to university, this never happens. His students would stand up and applaud him when he finished, and so he had at that point. Based on history, he had no political ambitions. People came to him and said, listen, this man can speak and get people's attention. Let's go see how he feels about the progressive mindsets that we have. And so they went and interviewed him, and they said, you know, he kind of relates to this. And so then they ran him for office in New Jersey, by the way, and he became the governor of New Jersey. But once he got in, the people didn't realize, oh, my goodness. Well, he's supporting what we're doing, but he also has his own agenda.
Right.
And he basically put them in their place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he continued on with the progressive movement. Mm. And there's just so much that you can hear that about it. You know, but so here we are, you know, 100 years later. And, you know, you heard a statement at one time that said, you know, Islam has a 100-year plan to be able to turn America into an Islamic nation, you know, meaning that the Quran is our law versus the Constitution, our law. And when you think about it, from Woodrow's administration to now, I think the 100 years is up.
Wow.
The 100 years is up. And
And so what you're seeing is, and what President Woodrow Wilson thought and taught the United Nations or the League of Nations, was that they said no to until World War II happened. And then they said, listen, we got to pull up Woodrow's idea. We have World War II here. Let's go ahead. And they kicked right in immediately and started the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, they tied our economies together. So if you tie the economies together, we would never go to war, because for one nation to fight another nation is to affect your bottom line. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they thought tying our money together, thank you, Woodrow, because he wanted big government. And so just having this, whatever God gave us, let's just be happy with it. And let's don't sell out for more money and bigger government.
Imagine that.
God,
more money.
It was a God being government and God. And so now here we are, you know, almost 100 years later, a little over 100 years later, maybe I can't remember the exact numbers. Mm-hmm. And the United Nations, when you look at their flag, when you said Caesar, you're looking at the crown of on the flag. You're looking at the very...
What do you call that? The leaf thing?
The leaf thing over the head the Olympians would wear or whatever, but it was for Caesar would wear about ruling the world, you know, with the Roman Empire. And it's interesting that the Roman Empire, when you look at end times prophecy, that it's going to come from, you know, Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, and so here we are right now where CNBC, which is basically a...
left.
Yeah, I guess you could call them left. It's kind of a branch of the government. And we're gonna buy a microwave.
Is that the correspondence? Is that the correspondence department?
We're buying a microwave. Don and I are buying a microwave, and we saw this microwave, and it was had a lot of different buttons on it or whatever. And I thought, this is the one I want. And it was made by GE, who owns NBC and MSNBC. And
General Electric, right?
Yeah, General Electric. And so I thought, and I said, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. But then I looked at the buttons, and there was a button on the microwave that said, it was a government button.
A government button?
There was a government button on the, I'm telling you, maybe if Donna's listening, that you can text me what that button said. I can't remember if it said food.gov or mill.gov or something like that. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're going to know when I eat popcorn. I was just so upset. I'm thinking like, man, it was like mill or food.gov or something like that. I don't know. And so, you know,
it's just weird.
Yeah. With that, I'm like, well, I'll just take the cheesy one. I don't want that one.
Yeah,
and so I'm out of town or whatever, and I come back and they came and put the microwave in, and they put that bug in my they put that government microwave in my home. They installed it.
Wow.
I'm like, sorry, I am not gonna pass a food.gov button every day, you know, where I heat up a cup of coffee or something, and I think you push it and it tells you how to eat. Or something. I don't know. I mean, it just didn't, but it was like a merger between a corporation and a government. This intertwining that's really strange between General Electric and the government. But General Electric's products now have a government agency attached to it, a button. And of course, I was told them, can you come rip this thing out of my
house right.
and put in the cheesy one? But really did it. I mean, that's how, you know, big government and, you know, government knows better versus if you don't have a relationship with God, you know, saying God knows better makes no sense to you. If we say, listen, you know, God knows the answer, and you think, I don't even know God, well, that's why it doesn't make sense to you.
Sure.
Or if you're a Christian who's never been discipled and never taught that you're supposed to know the shepherd's voice and you're supposed to be able to let him lead you in your life, and somebody's just, you basically ate another man's groceries.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to somebody else talk about their relationship with God, but you've never had one yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to you. You're used to following somebody else. And so when the government tells you, we'll help you how to eat, we'll help you with these different things, you just naturally have a tendency to say, well, that sounds pretty good.
Sure.
But when you understand that, no, that's God's role in our life, what we're really saying is, if we do say that, is government's going to replace God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the argument. That was the argument with Israel. You can go to VFNTV right now, VFNTV.com, and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. That's been around. That's been the argument. You know, mm-hmm. can the government provide better for us? And this is when we talked about this yesterday. I'm not going to talk much about it, but as soon as that lady walked up in that American gathering in North Carolina and leaned over to the chairman, the L.A. mayor, after the second time of saying no to God, and says, you got to give them what they want. She prophesied to them. That's exactly what was said to Samuel when Israel said, listen, we want a king like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want socialism like everybody else wants socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And behind socialism is always communism. It's about government knows better, and we will ration things out. And you just got to hear you know, more about that from yesterday. But so then you say that about Caesar, because right now we see a pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. This is what they're wanting to hear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the world.
Oh, yeah. That's what they want to hear.
And MSNBC or CBS, whatever they are, CNBC, they had a program about President Clinton. They called him the president of the world.
Wow.
No.
And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, listen, this is not about the 5.2% of the population of the world. This is not about the five. This is America. America's 5.2% of the population of the world. This is This is about running the world.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there's enough computer technology today. There's enough where they're talking the QE3 stimulus package, where that means basically printing more money, putting it out there. They're talking about doing it digitally. Well, if you go back and look at the prophetic warnings on your at the VFN torch, you can see that's God showed me a vision of that, where the paper money was being sucked off the face of the earth and it turned into a fire and it burned up. Well, it can. How often do we use cash today? I mean, how often?
That's
know?
Right.
And so it probably, you know, they could be easily switch over. It was during the hurricanes and all. And so their goal is this. Well, listen, prophetically, it's going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always wish it wasn't our generation, and I'm not saying, I'm thinking that if we repent and turn back to God as a church, that God would let us have America back.
Mm-hmm.
We reestablish our founding fathers' principles. We live by the Constitution. We honor God in our institutions, and the family becomes the core part of a country again, and marriage is what God calls marriage again, and we begin to rid our land, and the Fourth Amendment begins to protect us from a lot of different things, but also digitally having some way to protect our papers and stuff from all the vulnerability that's taking place in the digital sphere in the world. And so their goal is the world. And so I was talking about this, you know, and brace yourself, you know, yesterday about Hurricane Ivan and, you know, how rough it was and how we went through that, but they forgot about us. We were like the poster child at first. You know, come help us. But as soon as Katrina hit a few moments later, you know, in New Orleans, they totally forgot about us. And everybody, you know, ran to Louisiana and left Florida.
Sure.
And so that's what's going to be happening, is that this will happen, then that'll happen. And you may have attention for a little bit, but there's something else about to happen that you're not going to have that. So you're going to be left to yourself and to your gods. Who's your God?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so... so Katrina comes, and Katrina means
cleansing,
purity. And so we have five hurricanes. They come, and Katrina, this huge cleansing, this whole Katrina comes, and the word is out. It's spread across the land. Hey, that means cleansing and purity. And that was a warning for all of us. That was not a New Orleans issue. You know, they said, Jesus, these towers that fell on these people, was it because they were evil?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus responds to them, unless you repent.
Unless you repent.
Yeah, you're gonna go to hell. And so I was like, no, I'm talking about the people in New Orleans.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the towers in New York. And he's like, no, those towers were a sign to us that life is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Katrina and the 9/11 was a sign to us, you know, that God could pull his hands off of us and the enemy can come in like a flood. And so now... the enemy can come in like a flood. That's very important, because if you go back and look at the prophetic warnings that you'll see over and over again, if you go to VFN TV and watch God Does Speak, you'll hear this whole prophetic conversation from ministers around the United States talking on this conference call about what God is being saying as we're piecing these parts together.
And what does he speak? Well, as soon as Isaac began to form, the Lord spoke to me that, you know, Isaac, the very word Isaac means laughter. In Proverbs chapter 1, and you can see this, and make sure there's a related link to this, you know, bracing yourself, is Isaac, a warning shot fired over the bow of America. And think about America as a ship. And it was a warning shot, which means nothing was going to happen. It was just a warning of what was going to take place. And then it looks like it's going to hit all those same places that all those hurricanes hit for those five, because everybody prepared for it.
Yeah.
And then finally it goes and hovers over New Orleans for a long extended period of time and just began to flood it and flood it and flood it. And it just stayed there. And if you think about it, we replace the word Katrina with purity, right? Purifying. And you can replace the name Isaac with laughter. You know, because we didn't purify ourselves and cleanse our hands and turn to God, then he says in Proverbs 1, I will laugh at your disaster. And he says, as we talked about, you know, is in Isaiah, that the enemy will come in like a flood. And this is God's using the Assyrians, as he talks about, as a club against his own people. It's like people got, you know, when you get in the Word, you're going to find out most of the stuff people are telling you about God's not true. And you understand that he loves you so much. When you're loved by that much by God, it's a jealous love. And you know, with jealous love, I learned in law enforcement it's so dangerous that the very one that has a jealous form of love can kill the very one that they love. Out of a rage of anger, they're so hurt, they're so deeply hurt, and they didn't mean to kill the person, but they were so jealous over their love, and they did something wrong with somebody else, and then they kill them. Well, God loves you with a jealous love, and so if you look back in history, many times the earth split. And things came, and people who God loves, their life left them during that transition. And I'm saying that for this, because before that happened, when I said that the Lord laid on my heart, this is a warning shot fired across the board. Which means a warning shot means we can repent and we can turn.
Sure.
And as soon as I said that, there was a shooting that took place at the Empire State Building. And it was friendly fire mostly. It was one person going to shoot somebody, and then
the police officers.
Yeah, the police officers who never used their gun in duty. We have so many people who, you know, we've been so blessed. You have people that do 20-year careers, 30 years of career in law enforcement, never had to use their gun once. But you have other nations who use it at least once a week because it's so rowdy and so wild. Which means if you don't have that kind of skill. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that kind of skill that they just start to shoot. You don't shoot in a crowd. You don't stand in a circle, put the suspect in the middle, and start shooting at him. You know, it's like you're going to shoot the other officers. And they shot that most of the people that got hurt and it got hurt by the officers, you know, crossfire and friendly fire.
Sure.
And so understanding that as soon as this word came to me, the Lord spoke to me that this is a warning shot. Simultaneously, a few moments later, the shooting's taking place at the Empire State Building. Understand that America is an empire. That's what they're called. They're called empires. And so the Empire State Building, this warning shot, right? Gunshot. And then what happens? An actual shooting takes place at the Empire State Building. And so then the laughter comes all the way up Florida, and it looks like it's going to hit all the same places, you know, Isaac. Then it hovers, laughter hovers over purity. And he says in Proverbs 1 that I'll laugh at your instruction because you wouldn't listen to me, because you wouldn't let me make myself known to you, because you wouldn't listen to my instruction. You wouldn't respond to my rebuke. He says, I'm going to laugh at your disaster. And this happens where it's like, and I'm hearing, you know, I hear ministers, you know, respond back to me. You know, they're kind of like just sarcastical, and you know, and everything that I've been saying over the years has come to pass, you know.
Right.
And I don't want it to be. I mean, I really, you know, would like just to go to the Super Bowl and watch the Saints game, and we just all serve God, you know, and live a life and have Bibles in school again, and call things wrong that's wrong. And anyway, so But listen to this. Y'all got to hear this. That Katrina, Katrina, which is purity, right? Mm-hmm. Came in. It was horrific. We got scars on our hearts today. We were down there helping out. It was just horrific because we went from Ivan scars to Katrina scars.
Sure.
And then 7 years to the day. 7 years. Think about it. 7 years to the day that purity hit, laughter hits. And hovers and hovers and stays and stays and stays and stays. Because the truth is, Katrina really didn't hit New Orleans. It hit Waveland and Mississippi and all that. But it flooded their water containment systems, and they were bad, their levees, and it flooded everything.
Right.
Mississippi's the one that got hit and has been ignored by what's happened there. Remember, it was just flat.
Yeah.
You know, it was flattened out. Gulfport, Waveland, all those different areas, and the levees broke over there. And so now they actually have over them, the last thing you would need to know is more water coming, and it's just hovering over there. And it's a warning shot going, hey, listen,
let me try this again.
And the sad thing about it, you know, when you talked about, you know, George Barna's recent study that only 3% of the church is concerned about the condition of their heart with God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 3% are actually interested in their own spiritual development.
And it's interesting, too, that it's only 3%, according to also George Bonner's study, that give God his tithes and offerings.
Right.
But didn't he say where your treasure is?
Your heart will be.
So they're tied together, right?
It's a heart issue.
Always a heart issue. It's totally a heart issue. And so we're looking at right now, as I was saying earlier, and make sure this is connected to brace yourself, because this is I wanted to be able to talk 7 years to the day that laughter came. And as soon as God gave me that word, it was made available on the VFN torch. And then as it was up, the shooting took place. The shots were fired at the Empire State Building. And then Isaac, laughter just kind of covers all the same areas that all these hurricanes were hitting that year. And then it hovers over.
It stops, literally, right?
It stops. You know, and I was talking to Jesus about it, who lives right there in Gretna. I mean, right across the Mississippi River. You can see New Orleans from his upstairs place there. And he's saying the same thing about, you know, nobody understands what's going on. It's just like no man really sees, understands. God is shouting to us, you know, in our situation, but now he's going to begin to shout to us in our pain.
That's right.
You know, and so we talked about yesterday, and I want to continue to tell you to brace yourself. Just this morning, we'll talk more about that. You're starting to hear things that we've been talking about for quite some time, and this is not about storing up a little food and a little water. You got to store up some wisdom. There's some things you're going to need to do to be able to survive. We cannot think about America the way it has been. But understand this, that if we walk this thing out right, even though it may be tough for a while, that if we turn our hearts to God and begin to do what's right, and we can walk this thing out, and maybe the Lord will let us keep our country. Mm-hmm. You know, the original word was we'd have to fight for it the way our founding fathers fought for it in the beginning, which I just can't, you know, it's going to take a lot of mindset changing for people that are willing to stand up and, first of all, read the Constitution. What a concept, you know, read it. You need to have a little booklet with you, you know. And when you hear about National Rifle Association, you know, that's the NRA. That's the Second Amendment. That's what they're representing. They're not representing guns or anything. They're representing the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Sure. It's your Constitution that this country's made up of our decisions and what we do. And you have a right to protect yourself and a right to defend yourself and to right to bear and possess arms. And what's about to happen, I mean, the first thing they're going to want to do is to take away our constitutional rights, bring in things like martial law, you know, and flip a switch.
And things that people don't think that could actually happen, but we actually saw it happen during the hurricane. We experienced that. There's nothing like a National Guard person standing there with an assault weapon.
Every one of them had guns, didn't they?
Go home.
Go home. It's like,
go home.
No gas. Who cares? You're like, oh, I'm going to have gas to get back. You know? I mean, we were like a military convoy trying to head
to this one gas station. But they all had guns. They all had the assault rifles. You had all the military vehicles. Because martial law is this. Because the Constitution says the military cannot be over anybody in America. It cannot use its force in America unless the president declares martial law. And even President George Washington declared martial law sometimes. Mm-hmm. So properly used, it's an important thing. Mm-hmm. But also it can be wrongly used.
Sure.
And what that means is basically all of our constitutional rights are suspended at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so they can do anything. If they feel like you're a looter, that's somebody who's like breaking into something, they can shoot you on the spot. Versus when there is no martial law, then they have to arrest you and take you before courts and try you before your peers and your jury and then wait for the answer back. But in martial law, they just go pop. You know,
and it's dark with no lights in there again.
That's right. That's right. You know, by the way, just to give you a little tips up. And so, prudent preparation is on VFN TV. You can watch it. And it just begins to get you to start thinking outside the box of what you need to think like. You need to begin to just broaden your horizons of our present spoiled environment and understand, you know, if everything's shut off. I mean, go out to your house, or your apartment, whatever, not your apartment. I don't know. It depends. If your house, if you own it, and flip your breaker, just flip the big breaker on your house and go for about 2 or 3 days and just watch your kids squirm, watch your relationships be challenged, and just kind of feel what that feels like. And now imagine if every breaker was flipped for a period of time in your city and your nation. And understand that the cyber attack type things is they'll have to shut down the power grid to be able to prevent it from viruses hitting it. They'll have to shut down. You can stop a virus from moving through the system if you shut down the system.
Mm.
So if they can say, hey, you know, we're thinking that there's a huge virus about to hit, and that's the first thing, that's their biggest concern right now. That's their concern, not ours, but that's the biggest concern.
Right.
Is this, so they shut down all the internet.
Sure.
You know, and there's so many people the reason why they give televisions to prisoners is to help them forget they're in jail.
Hello.
You know, and if you get rid of your television, you might find out you're in jail. Well, there's a lot of people that are in bondage right now, but they don't know it because they have some sort of apparatus. Maybe it's an iPad, maybe it's an Android phone, maybe it's an iPhone, but it's not, they don't really have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this commercial. See the commercial with this little girl, this young daughter or whatever, and she's looking at her parents' Facebook, and she's got like all these quote friends to her Facebook, and she looks at her parents' Facebook and she goes, oh man, these guys, bless their heart, they only have like 20 friends. Mm-hmm. And so she finds herself giving them a friend, helping them out, and then they flash to her parents, and her parents are like in the mountains riding mountain bikes and looking at the things and just having this wonderful time, right?
Yeah.
And then they flash back to her, and she's watching some video of some kitten doing some tricks. He goes, oh, look at this kitten video. It's like, you know, it's like two different worlds. But there's a lot of the population that's just what they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, people are going to be upset if they didn't know they were in jail. They're going to be upset if they find out that I've been locked up and I don't know. And there's going to be, you know, people that have a vengeance on their mind and anger and rage. And rage stands for raw anger going everywhere. And they're going to be upset. And the blame factor and the expectation factor. I thought you were going to take care of me. And that's what Isaiah talks about. He says, then you're going to roam the land and you're going to begin to look up at and curse God. And you're going to curse your king, which is your government. And then you're going to go and people are going to begin to rob and steal and do all this kind of stuff. I mean, all these different things are about to happen to America. Unless the church repents.
Right.
It's not a political answer, folks. It is not a America is a byproduct. The United States of America is a byproduct of Christians who sought to worship God freely. And if you have not yet seen, and you can find about this on the VFN Torch, you know, monumental, you know, seeing the movie, you can see the trailer on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and it's monumental. That will just change your paradigm of understanding. It wasn't about you know, burying a piece of fish and a corn seed to be able to grow corn and having turkey with the Indians. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a desperate desire to be able to come to America to just worship God.
Yeah, we talked about it on the torch too. You can see it on the torch.
Well, make sure you do that. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.